This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Help me welcome to the program her first time in this studio. She is Eleanor Wilson, an associate professor at the Curry School of Education here in Charlottesville at the University of Virginia. Ellie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks, Coy. I'm really excited to be here.
So let me start with, as I am wont to do, with just a quick 101, a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you ended up at the Curry School.
Sure. Well, that's a great starter. My career has spanned many decades and has encompassed many different ventures, but most recently, for the last 30 years since we moved to Charlottesville, I had 10 years teaching in the public schools here, and then I went back to the Curry School and received my doctorate and was lucky enough to be hired in our curriculum and instruction program and have been working with the elementary student teaching programs at Curry for the last 15 years. So I think that what I would like to most emphasize at this point is the fact that I have been incredibly lucky with the contacts that I've continued to have in the Charlottesville City Schools and in the Albemarle County Schools, and have been able to work with teachers and principals all around as we collaborate on ways to best get future teachers ready for their job.
We're talking with Ellie Wilson of the Curry School of Education. And so the Curry School really reaches out to the local community and works with a lot of schools in this region, right?
Very much. And I should say, and I was talking a little bit earlier, I completed several years ago a history of the Curry School of Education. And what's very interesting for us to keep in mind is that on the day that Alderman was inaugurated as president of the University of Virginia, he at the same time received money from Rockefeller, from the Rockefeller Foundation, to establish the Curry School. From the beginning, for the last 100 years, the goals of education have been paramount to all of those associated with the university. What Alderman saw, what other people have continued to see, is the fact that a university school of education needs to continue to work with schools to develop programs and to develop ways in which we can improve education for all parts of the Commonwealth.
We're talking with Ellie Wilson of the University of Virginia, and you are the author of this new book, and you brought me a copy. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a centennial history of the Curry School of Education. Who is it named for? Who is Curry?
Well, Curry was a Southern reformer, educational reformer. Alderman thought highly of him, and he wanted the school to be established in his name. And so I think that the linchpin of the school has always been a commitment to educate the public, students and others, educational personnel in the state of Virginia and beyond, of course. I think the other thing that's very interesting to know is that the subtitle of my book is Preparing Men and Women for Leadership in Scientific Educational Work. And this notion of scientific educational, as it was understood at the beginning of the 20th century, today has been continually a theme for Curry now as we coordinate and collaborate on research methods and so forth to identify effective teaching practices and other ways that we can improve the professional outreach of the school.
Yeah, what works and what doesn't.
What works and what doesn't
work. Because we see headlines all the time about what doesn't work.
Right.
But if I understand you right, there really is some new and exciting research going on about what really can work in the schools and what might help.
There very much is, and our current Dean Pianta, in particular, is very eager to work with elementary and secondary students as well as we continue to identify effective teaching practices. One of the things that I really most enjoy about my job is that I am in the halls of Ruffner about half the time, but I'm also out in the schools as I see the students develop strategies and as I see them start trying out new things. But in particular, behind everything that we introduce our students to is a conscious effort to base whatever we're talking about on the research and the most recent findings about what makes an effective teacher, you know, what makes a good classroom, how do we show that children can learn. All of these things are terribly important.
We're talking with Eleanor Wilson. She's a professor at the Curry School of Education here at the University of Virginia and the program coordinator for elementary education, curriculum, instruction, and special education as well. Ellie, what do you say when you hear folks saying, oh, these government schools, they're worthless, and they just make kids, you know, they're not getting anywhere. They're doing more harm than good, and they go from worse to bad, from bad to worse every day. And what's your take on that?
Oh, I mean, that makes me crazy. My take on it is I dare you to go into any school in Albemarle, Fluvanna, Charlottesville, any surrounding schools, and you will see wonderful things at work. You will see hardworking, dedicated professionals. I think that the truth of the matter is that teaching today is a very complex, complicated process that is indeed hard perhaps for a layperson to understand from the outside. But when you get in the inside, I am constantly humbled by the teachers that I work with, by the response that I see from children, and of course from the efforts my students at the university make. But I think that I'm in a wonderful position to sort of enjoy a collaboration with the city and the county, the public, if you will, in terms of work that I do at the university. And for that, I am incredibly grateful. And I think that that's what keeps us all excited and energized. But I also can't help but putting in this little plug that all three of our teacher education programs, elementary, secondary, and the special education teacher ed programs, are ranked in the top 10 and have been for the last 8 or 9 years consistently by U.S. News and World Report. Now,
now, see, a lot of folks who live around here might not know that. They know UVA trains teachers, but they might not know it's one of the best in the country.
It is definitely one of the best in the country. And I think that that's a real commentary on the work of many people that are associated with our programs. It's not just us and teaching. It's everybody that's in the School of Education. It's people doing research. It's people doing policy work. There's a lot of aspects to a School of Education that sometimes one doesn't think of. But this whole mission of preparing teachers has really been critical since the beginning. And I do think it's worthwhile noting that we continue to get recognition nationally for our efforts.
And, of course, it's very much in keeping with Mr. Jefferson's vision for UVA, that this would be the place that would train the leaders of tomorrow who could nurture democracy and leave it in better shape for our great-grandchildren than we received it.
Well, we like to think. We hope we do that. It's a challenge. We are constantly working to revise and change. I was in a meeting this afternoon, for example, when we're talking about re-envisioning our teacher education program. I think the great thing about the faculty that I work with is that nobody's content to sort of stay still. You know, we're always trying to reconcile what we know about research and how we can effectively use this as we work with the students in the schools.
We're talking with Ellie Wilson of the Curry School of Education at the University of Virginia, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. What are your thoughts about this whole teach to the test and the sort of the changes we've seen over the last few decades as politicians have gotten more hands-on with mm-hmm. the curriculum of public schools, such that now you have so many frustrated teachers who feel like they can never think outside the box and they just have to teach to the test? My sister, for many years, was a public school teacher down in Georgia, and she was so frustrated. She left the profession. She said, I just can't do my job. The state government's telling me what to do.
Well, I think the issue that you raise is a tricky one, and it's something that we are constantly faced with, both when our novice teachers go into the classroom and they come back and say, but I'm supposed to teach this. And the answer to that is not simple, and it's not straightforward. Basically, what I certainly do and what we all do is encourage the students to think beyond whatever a particular standard of learning or whatever a particular objective, grade level objective, is going to be to embellish their teaching. I think it's really important that we not get blindsided by just meeting certain objectives, but by keeping objectives as stated, whether they're the standards of learning or some other state standards, in mind. They're great goalposts for us to strive for, but there's so much more to be taught. And I love to see the students' eyes open. And the teachers that I work with, I think, are all very committed to going beyond whatever might be a certain standard of learning to make sure that what their children are exposed to is the best. But I think it's a really tough question, Quinn. There's no easy answers.
But, you know, one thing I'm also thinking of as you're talking is how sort of privileged we are in Central Virginia, because our worst schools here are still light years beyond so many schools, whether it's rural or urban, across America. There's still so many places that need a lot of work, and so many kids who really aren't being reached and aren't being well served.
And that, you know, this is the challenge. This is a challenge that all schools of education face right now. And certainly, there are many other proposals on the table, and many others, such as Teach for America or other alternative licensure programs that now exist nationally, because there is such a need. Our current school population teaching population is aging fast, and growth projections continue to show a need for more teachers in the classrooms. And yet, how is the best way to reach, to educate, and to train teachers so that they'll stay in the classroom? And this is a real problem, and we're very aware of it. Certainly in CURRY, we feel that our mission is definitely to educate all children, but we also understand that there are certain areas of the state that we can do some special outreach with, and we work with Southwest Virginia. We work all around the state. For example, we have targeted reading programs, and some other of our faculty members are working to develop new programs that will reach farther into the outer reaches of the state of Virginia. But beyond that, nationally, it's still a real problem.
Eleanor Wilson is with the CURRY School of Education here at the University of Virginia. Ellie, I had talked to, I actually know a couple of folks who changed careers, you know, midlife professionals changed their careers.
Career switchers, we call
them. And they left one field, and then they went, next thing you know, they're in the high schools, and they're teaching in public schools.
Good. Right.
They are so happy. Mm-hmm. They love what they're doing. Are we, you think that that is a trend, that we're going to see more of that in the future?
Well, I think it's been around for a while. I think it's a trend that I would like to see we would continue. I think it touches on, and your notion, what you said about your friends being happier or finding some satisfaction in this, is the overall issue of the morale of the teaching population in general. And I think that what's so hard for the general public to sometimes realize that teachers do work. They work so hard, and they work because they care about kids, but they don't always get the recognition and support that they want. I think the phenomena of career switchers coming into the classroom is a very positive one, and in many ways probably reflects people who had jobs that weren't necessarily as personally enriching as they found teaching to be. I guess that would be my response to that.
Well, and so many of those jobs on the front lines in our culture, whether you're literally on the front lines or you're just, I'm thinking of doctors in emergency rooms and EMTs and nurses and teachers. These people have never really gotten the recognition
or the
compensation that they really deserve for the kind of work they do on a daily basis.
I don't think you can escape that, and the compensation is another issue, but I think we all understand the constraints around that. And I think the broader issue is the support, the recognition for what the job is that teachers are doing. But I think the what I guess I had wanted to really emphasize with you again was the fact that the CURRY School is very dependent and very, very appreciative of the links that we have with all the school systems around here. And a school of education is only as good as the extenuating personnel can be and the supporting personnel. And I think that part of the reason that we are so successful is that we have the support of a lot of incredibly strong professionals in the schools, all grade levels, all areas, all in Central Virginia. And I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind.
We're talking with Ellie Wilson of the CURRY School of Education at the University of Virginia. Share with us, if you can, without getting too academic, perhaps, any trends that you see that are very exciting right now in education, whether it's in, you know, whether it's a special ed or with elementary school curriculum, or anything that you can see that people might not be familiar with that you see coming down the pike that you can look at and you have, your peers are working on, that you can say, this is working, this is exciting, and this is going to make a difference?
Well, wow, that's a really loaded question. What comes to mind, first of all, is a trend that has been coming down the pike for the last 8 or 10 years. Both the concept, this is K-12 education I'm talking about, the concept of gifted education and the concept of special education services. Research, and some of the very finest research, by the way, was done by faculty members associated with the CURRY School, research has continually and continuously shown that students from both our special needs population and the gifted population learn better, have more successful experiences if, in fact, they're integrated with their classroom, whether it is kindergarten classroom or junior high school classroom, whatever it is. And I think one of the biggest changes that we're seeing now in the special education programs is that our students will now be duly endorsed to teach both special education and either elementary school or secondary in a content area if they want to specialize, if they want to choose a special area. I think that the notion of the pull-out programs as they existed for both special education and gifted education has now given way to a more integrated overall approach. Now, with it comes challenges for the teachers, but I think it's brought a certain dynamism to the planning and a certain recognition that we need to continue to differentiate our needs our teaching for all children. So that's a big, to me, that's been a real sea change.
Well, I can tell you, I'm intimately familiar with what you speak of. My soon-to-be 8-year-old son has autism and is in a regular first grade classroom, and it has made all the difference in the world.
That's great.
And there's a lot of kids as well, his friends, they just adore him.
Mm-hmm.
And they really dote on him, especially the older girls from the older grades when they're on the playground. And you can really see that he has woven himself into this classroom culture in a very effective way. And I give all the credit to the special ed folks and the teachers who, frankly, it is difficult, but they made it a priority.
No, that's really great to hear. And I think the benefits to all are something that we recognize. The benefits are really seen widely by my students. The pre-service students really are kind of open-eyed, wide-eyed, shall I say, open-mouthed, wide-eyed, because they really enjoy this. They very much, their desire to teach is really emphasized when they see the differing needs of their kids. And so then they will come to me and they will say, oh, Ellie, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And there's nothing I enjoy more than sitting in a classroom and myself working with children if I have the time, but usually I'm observing, but trying to see how we can best design instruction so that all the kids will be a part of it. And it's a mighty big task. It's a mighty big task, but I'm really glad to hear that because I think it's a very important development.
Ellie Wilson is a professor of in the Curry School of Education here at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. Thank you so much for being here. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.